You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome one of our favorite guests, Jerry Palm, who is busy putting together brackets in the wake of what was a big weekend in college basketball. Now, Baylor was number two, Jerry. Thanks so much for joining us. They pick up their first loss of the season. It really was about several weeks in COVID protocols and not being able to practice, and Coach Scott Drew wanting everyone to know just what they've battled through. And lots of conference action taking place right now. But what does this mean for Baylor and for brackets?
Well, for Baylor, it means not much, really, because Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan had built such a gap between them and the rest of college basketball that they're in a position to take multiple losses and still stay on the top line of the bracket. So for me, I switched Baylor and Michigan. So Michigan's the overall number two and Baylor's the overall number three. But, you know, number four after Ohio State lost today is going to be Illinois, and Baylor could lose a couple more times easy and still not drop below Illinois, who's had a really good season. But that's how good and dominant Baylor has been over the course of this entire season.
So when we're looking at the number one seeds, if those three teams have created a gap, kind of their own little bubble at the top, who would be your fourth number one?
Yeah, so today, Illinois, it has been Ohio State since the committee told us Ohio State on February 13th. And they took a loss to Michigan in that period of time, and that didn't hurt them much. But today, the loss to Iowa, another very good team, but enough to push Illinois past them on the bracket. And then, you know, there's teams like Alabama hanging around, West Virginia, you know, maybe even a Houston, although that they're kind of a long shot for a one seed because of their schedule. But, you know, teams like that are really ready to push for that fourth spot if there's any faltering among, you know, the Big Ten teams and the Big 12 teams who have been really strong all season long.
It's pretty crazy to think about the fact that it's been almost a year since March Madness was canceled. So March 12th was the date, 2020, a date that most sports fans will never forget. Now here we are nearly a year later, and you've had an opportunity to kind of hear and see what this might look like in Indianapolis. A lot of fans are anxious. So what do we know about the upcoming NCAA tournament?
Yeah, so it's going to be played almost entirely in Indianapolis. There's going to be the first four and a couple of first round games each at Mackey Arena, where Purdue plays, about an hour north, and at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, where Indiana plays, and that's about an hour south. But everything else is going to be at the four venues in Indianapolis. And it's going to be as controlled of an environment as they can manage with 68 teams. Each team is going to have their own floor of a hotel. Each member of their traveling party, up to 34 people, will have their own room, so that they're, you know, we don't have roommate situations. And then there's, you know, pretty stringent NCAA testing protocols. Every team, every member of the traveling party, has got to have 7 consecutive clean days of tests before they come to Indianapolis for the tournament. Which, you know, if your conference tournament is this coming week, you've got plenty of time to do that. But how's the Big Ten, who's actually having their tournament in Indianapolis? They're going to have to start the NCAA testing protocols around the time their tournament starts in order for them to be ready to go to the NCAA tournament part of Indianapolis when that time rolls around. So that's why the tournament's starting a couple of days later this year. It's going to start on Thursday instead of Tuesday to get make sure everybody can get the testing done. And then, you know, they're going to isolate as much as they can. It's not a true bubble because, you know, you're not playing games in your hotel or something attached to your hotel. But, they're keeping the teams as isolated as they can. And of course, you know, you get 68 teams down there, and then, you know, once you lose, you go home. So the number of people that they're dealing with is getting halved every couple of days. But I think it's the best setup they could come up with to try to deal with all this and get this tournament played. And hopefully, you know, without any teams having to drop out, but realistic, that doesn't seem realistic, you know, with the way this season has gone, for the committee to be able to announce a 68-team bracket with the 68 teams they believe belong in it, and nobody having to opt out before then, and then to get all 67 games played without a single problem just doesn't seem to be realistic with what has gone on with the rest of college basketball, but they're going to give it a shot.
What type of stipulations or caveats is the NCAA building in case there is a team that doesn't go through seven straight days or ends up with a player or a member of its traveling party testing positive?
Yeah, so if a team has to drop out before the bracket's announced, then they just don't consider them. If it's an automatic qualifier, then the conference replaces them. Otherwise, if it's a potential at-large team, they just leave them out. Once the bracket's announced, they've got 48 hours. There's a 48-hour window where if a team can't pass the testing protocols and they have to drop out of the bracket, then one of the teams that is the first four out that would normally be the number one seeds in the NIT will replace that team in that team spot in the bracket. They're not going to re-bracket. They're not going to shift everybody up and down because by then teams are scouting and, you know, practicing and preparing for a specific opponent. So you can't shift everybody in the bracket to fill a spot. They're just going to fill the one team spot and then only that team and the team they're supposed to play are stuck with preparation issues. But and they've got four fill-in teams. And after that, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket. And after 48 hours, if somebody drops out, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket and going on.
Wow.
So, you know, if there's a hole, then they just, whoever they were supposed to play has a bye to the next round.
So, in other words, if a two seed ends up developing an issue and has to drop out, it sounds like there's a zero tolerance, too. If there's an issue, that team gets bounced. So, if a two seed drops out, it gets filled by maybe team number
69? Somebody who
69?
Would normally be in the NIT. Yep. Somebody who would normally be in the NIT is going to fill that spot and play a 15 seed in the first game. But only in the 48 hours after the bracket's announced. After that, they're not substituting anybody.
Got it. Jerry Palm is with us from CBS Sports and is trying to keep track of everything as it happens. And this includes all of the various unexpected cancellations, postponements. Here we come on conference tournaments. So we'll see how that plays out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. College football managed to get through the season relatively unscathed. There was a lot of regular season action that was canceled, but a champion was crowned. It was on time. A lot of conferences also had championship games. How would you compare the way that college basketball has navigated everything thrown at it compared to college football?
Yeah, I mean, it's been about the same, really. There have been pockets of problems. Some conferences have had more games postponed than others. But we're going to get to these conference tournaments, and at least all of them that are, you know, the Ivy League sat out the entire season, but the other 31 conferences are ready to go with their conference tournaments. And, you know, we'll see if we can get 31 conference champions crowned in an NCAA tournament played. And there's reason for optimism because football was able to pull it off. And the NCAA learned a lot and had a 2-month advantage. You know, football starts around Labor Day in terms of the games and stuff, and basketball didn't start until November, and they put it off a few weeks to the end of November. So the NCAA had a chance to learn from what college football was doing and was able to apply a lot of things and change some things to hopefully correct or deal with the issues college football had during the regular season. And it's been pretty good, far from perfect, but pretty good. And then we'll see if we can get to the finish line now.
What are the plans for fans in attendance at the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, they just announced this last week. They're going to have 25% capacity in the facilities. Everybody that's involved in playing the game, the players, the coaches, the traveling parties, the referees, and all of that, count toward that 25%. That's not going to be a huge number, but still. So in a place like Mackey Arena, which is 14,000, 25% of that is about 3,500. And so you might have a few thousand fans in Mackey Arena for the first four and the first round games that get played there. The Hinkle Fieldhouse is only about 10,000 or so where Butler plays to Lucas Oil, which is enormous. So, 25% is going to depend on the building you're in, but it'll be nice to have fans in those facilities and make some noise, because it doesn't take an entirely full arena for the crowd to be felt.
And they can make some noise, definitely can create some atmosphere, which is sorely missing. Jerry Palm is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Chair, this almost sounds sacrilegious to say in a conversation about college hoops, but what are the chances that neither Duke nor North Carolina make the tournament?
Well, they're both playing better to try and get in. And we're not even talking about Kentucky because they're that far gone. Carolina is just past the last four teams in my bracket. So they're in, but they're about the fifth or sixth last team in. Duke is among the first four out, and they've been playing better. They'd won four in a row until they lost in overtime to Louisville over the weekend. And if they'd won that game, they would be in the bracket for now too. So they're both making a push to try and get into the field. And Michigan State as well, who lost to Maryland on Sunday, but had beaten Ohio State and Illinois the week before. So the three names that we didn't think we'd be talking about, 2 weeks ago, are all trying to push their way in, and we'll see if they can finish the job. And, now that at least two of them are in, now you have to stay there because it's not over yet.
Mm. What are a couple of good stories, maybe teams that people will be surprised to see in a field of 68?
Ooh. Well, I mean, there's always some surprising teams. I mean, you're looking at the top of a bracket and you see, Gonzaga, who's been there a little bit lately, but Baylor, has been building for a season like this. Would have been high in the bracket last year, but, that Scott Drew has done a remarkable job with that program. Two names that Gonzaga we're more familiar with, Baylor maybe just starting to get familiar with in terms of the top of college basketball. But Houston is up there from the American Conference this year. We haven't seen Wichita State in a while. We may see them in the field. St. Louis University, was a preseason favorite in the Atlantic 10, is now trying to fight their way in. They had a 34-day COVID pause.
Whoa.
And so, you're not even really practicing much since then. Lose a couple of games that they probably wouldn't have otherwise when they come back. And, some of those teams are really struggling to find, their way in. The Mountain West is having a good year with four potential teams that probably won't all make it because they'll beat each other up to a point where two or three get in. But a resurgent year for the top of the Mountain West, which has been like a one-bid league in recent years, mostly San Diego State. But Boise State, Colorado State, Utah State all have a chance this year to play their way in. So it's been a pretty good year for them.
I was looking at your bracket, seeing schools like Grand Canyon and Abilene Christian and Drake. Yeah. How about that Drake as a 12 seed potentially?
Man, I got to see Drake. I've been to one game this year, and Valparaiso is about 30 minutes from where I live. So I went to see Drake play at Valparaiso. They actually lost on Sunday. I got to see the Saturday game when they came from behind to win. But they're a pretty good team. But they've been hit with injuries. Their best player has been out for a couple of weeks, and maybe even still this coming week, with a ankle injury or a foot injury. And then they lost their second leading scorer for the season to an injury just last week. So they've been trying to hold it together with bubblegum and duct tape here for a little bit and see if they can't push their way into the bracket. But they're going to have to perform well in their conference tournament to make that happen. In fact, they might even have to win it.
One thing that makes me feel like it's nearly March is Michigan State finding some heat and finding a little bit of momentum, though. Yet again, another school, another team that people are used to seeing at the top that isn't there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Ohio State and Illinois back-to-back last week and went from not even on my bubble to into the bracket. And now they lose to Maryland yesterday, but that's not going to hurt them too much. I think they'll still be in the bracket tomorrow. But, you know, they've got a game with Indiana, who's floundering, and who actually, you know, Michigan State beat to start this streak of good play. And then they have home and home with Michigan. So, you know, the Indiana game is going to be really important for Michigan State, so they have a bit of a cushion for those Michigan games. And then we'll see what they can do in the conference tournament. They'll probably need to do something there as well.
Inside of 2 weeks until Selection Sunday, so Jerry, considering what this last year has been like, what are your emotions about finally moving forward again?
Yeah, they're mixed because I'm really excited to see the tournament get played. I mean, that's, you know, and it's in my backyard in Indiana, so hopefully I'm going to be able to go at least, you know, to some of those games. I'm not able still to travel to like New York for the TV stuff I normally do for CBS Sports Network. So I'll be doing that remotely from home, and that'll feel weird. But I'm glad to see the games get played. My team is doing well, so I'm happy to see that. You know, it's been fun watching college basketball. You know, the Ohio State Michigan game last Sunday really felt good to watch. It was a fun game to watch. Two really good teams going at it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a Final Four caliber game, and I hadn't really seen anything like that this year. There may have been other games like that I just missed, but that one really felt good and encouraging, you know, going forward into, you know, conference tournament season, which is, the 2 weeks of conference tournaments are a lot of fun because the games are intense. Everybody's playing, their seasons are on the line, and I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. Just over a month out, if the Final Four is in fact played on time. You can find Jerry on Twitter at JPPalmCBS, and Bracketology, it's got its own special tab on CBSSports.com. So check out the latest, as it is a very fluid situation. Jerry, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.